It was about 1 a.m. when they awoke to sudden churning waves so forceful that Arthur thought they must have sailed into the middle of a storm. But there was nothing else happening to indicate a storm. No fierce winds, no hammering of rain, certainly neither thunder nor lightning. Just the waves in the normally calm Pacific Ocean that were becoming more and more violent with each passing moment.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Arthur struggled into a pair of sweat shorts and scrambled toward the stairs leading up to the deck.
I'll find out.
Arthur, you can't... There's a...
We don't know what there is, and I'm not about to cower down here.
He threw open a long, narrow cabinet and pulled out Excalibur. The redoubtable blade gleamed in the darkness of the cabin.
What do you think you're going to do with that? Stab the ocean to death?
If it annoys me, yes.
With that, he charged up onto the deck, keeping the sword gripped tightly. Gwen watched him go, hesitated, and then leaped out of bed and proceeded to pull on clothes herself. She wasn't about to stay hidden below if her husband was risking his neck up above. By the time she scrambled onto the deck, she discovered water lapping over the edges of the yacht. Arthur had gunned the motor to life and was now trying with all his might to steer the Mallory away from... what? She saw it clearly now, a huge bubbling of water as if something gargantuan was surfacing from below. Gwen had no idea what it could be. Actually, that wasn't strictly true. It was just that what she was coming up with sounded daunting, even for the wielder of Excalibur. A blue whale, perhaps, that had decided for some reason that the yacht presented a threat? Maybe a submarine, although she couldn't begin to guess what a submarine would be doing cruising around there. Or a giant kraken, perhaps. Granted, the creatures bordered on legendary, but then again, her husband had crossed that border ages ago, so who was she to judge? Arthur, bathed in the light of the full moon, wildly gesticulated toward the cabin.
Get below! I order you to get below!
You order me?
She staggered across the rocking deck and grabbed his arm.
Who do you think you are ordering me?
The bloody king!
Yeah, well, I'm the bloody queen, so get over your bad self!
Myself is not bad.
It's an expression, you medieval doofus!
How about this expression? Get below, now!
If we die, we die together!
How about you do what I say, and we don't? No, bugger this!
He released the wheel, and it spun violently on its own as the waves pushed the yacht to the starboard side. What was truly insane was that for all the violence erupting around them, the skies continued to remain cloudless and full of moonlight. He turned, grabbed Gwen, and tossed her over his shoulder in a fireman's carry.
Let me go!
Arthur started toward the entrance to the cabin, with the intention of tossing Gwen into it and bolting the door from the outside if necessary. Suddenly, he stopped in mid-step, his eyes going wide. He almost dropped Gwen as the deck rocked wildly beneath him, and he grabbed onto a trailing rope from the sail and held tight.
What's going on? Is something behind us? Turn around, for crying out loud!
Gwen twisted her neck to see where he was staring, and her jaw dropped.
Oh, my God.
A massive vessel was rising from beneath the waters directly behind them. Gwen remembered the first time, as a youngster, when she had sat enraptured in a movie theater as Star Wars unspooled upon the vast screen. She would always remember that opening shot where the gigantic space vessel appeared overhead and kept going and going for what seemed an endless amount of time. That was how she felt now, staring in shock as the vessel continued to rise higher and higher. Long strands of seaweed and not a few dead fish fell to either side. And it was 30 feet high, and then 40, and it kept going. Gwen shook her head in disbelief. The entire thing was made of wood. Dark, gleaming wood, covered with what appeared to be pitch to reinforce the exterior. It was a gargantuan ship, 50 feet high, 80 feet wide, and almost 2 football fields in length. It almost seemed to leap out of the water before settling back down. And great gouts of water came blasting down on the deck of the yacht. Arthur staggered, but continued to clutch Gwen closely to him. Gwen reached down into her cleavage and pulled out a small, flapping, striped fish that she quickly tossed overboard. It took a while for the ship to settle down. Then a small figure could be seen moving at the prow of the ship. And then a second figure joined in. Even with the full moon gleaming above, they couldn't make out at first who it was. But that didn't stop Arthur and Gwen from being able to take an educated guess, considering the circumstances.
Don't call him the other name. He hates the other name. Zesura! Is that you?
Of course it's me! Who the hell else would be in a giant ark? Did we interrupt something?
It was at that point that Gwen realized Arthur was still holding her slung over his shoulder.
Put me down, please.
Arthur eased Gwen to her feet.
Nothing at all, Noah. We were just, you know, floating here and wondering if someone might show up and nearly capsize us because things were too quiet.
Gwen, please, don't antagonize it.
Percival?
Yes, sire.
What are you doing on a giant submersible ark?
Yeah, and now that I think about it, how the hell did you submerge it?
Would you like to see for yourself? We could go under again, then surface directly beneath you.
You wouldn't dare, Noah.
Arthur.
Gwen, please.
How did you submerge it? It's made of wood.
So?
Wood!
Yes, we've established that.
Wood floats!
Obviously.
It doesn't sink!
Right again!
So how do you go cruising around underwater?
I don't understand the question.
Gwen threw up her arms in exasperation and turned to Arthur.
I give up. You talk to Captain Nemo.
More gladly than you can possibly believe.
Arthur stepped around in front of her.
Percival! Zesura! It is, of course, wonderful to see you. It's been ages. Would I be vaguely close to correct in hoping that this is merely a social call? A chance to catch up on old times?
Actually, Highness, not even close. World matters have taken an unexpected shift, and we've come to warn you.
Are we entering an ice age? Or a season of massive monsoons? Is the ocean draining, perhaps? I don't see how any other change in world events could possibly be of any relevance to us.
Trust me, Highness. When you've heard what I have to tell you, you're going to find yourself wishing the ocean was draining.
Just so you know, you were correct about everything. I was bored and desirous of something to do. Are you happy that you were right?
Actually, as it turns out, I'm almost never happy about being right. Doesn't that stink?
I couldn't say. If I should ever chance to be right about something, I'll be sure to let you know how it feels.